Thank you so much. I know that Julie greatly appreciated that, as well as all of us. So we're very grateful that you were able to be here for Thanksgiving and to celebrate that with your friends and family, and to share your musical talents with us this morning. For our scripture lesson this morning, I'm going to take the liberty and read two separate scriptures, one of them that's not listed in your bulletin. I'll start with that one. I'm going to read first from the book of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 14. As you do all this, you know what time it is. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. The night is almost over and the day is near. So let's get rid of the actions that belong to the darkness and put on the weapons of light. Let's behave appropriately as people who live in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, dress yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't plan to indulge your selfish desires. And then from Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, Amos' son, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house will be lifted, will be the highest of the mountains. It will be lifted above the hills. Peoples will stream to it. Many nations will go and say, "Come, let's go up to the Lord's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God, so that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in God's paths." Instruction will come from Zion, the Lord's word from Jerusalem. God will judge between the nations and settle disputes of mighty nations. They will beat their swords into iron plows and their spears into pruning tools. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn how to make war. Come, house of Jacob, let's walk by the Lord's light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Some of you may remember that back in September, I used a story in one of my sermons about a young black man named Jamal, who was accidentally invited to Thanksgiving dinner with Wanda and her family. Now, Wanda, who is white, had sent out a text message to her family with the reminder of when dinner would be served. She thought one of the recipients was her grandson. Instead, her grandson no longer had that phone number, and the person who did was named Jamal. He received the invitation and responded. And through their texting, they realized their error, but Wanda insisted that the invitation was open to him as well, and he came to dinner. Now, that was back in 2016. Now, four Thanksgivings later, the story is still making the news. Yes, Jamal and Wanda did get together again this year for Thanksgiving. It was a little different. This year, Jamal's girlfriend hosted their Thanksgiving dinner at her aunt's home, and Wanda came and celebrated with Jamal and his girlfriend and her family. In a newspaper article about their Thanksgiving traditions this year, Jamal said, "I love being able to keep our tradition up. Wanda has become a really good friend, and I love that so many people are touched by our friendship." Why is it that so many people are invested in this story, that the newspapers and social media keep reporting about it each year, that it continues to be a viral social media story? Why is it that we all want to know every year if Jamal and Wanda are going to get together for Thanksgiving dinner? Why is it that we're so invested in their friendship? I believe it's because the story is a positive example of what we want to see in our world. We want to know that people of different races can overcome barriers, become friends, and maintain that positivity and that relationship year after year. We want to see strangers extend hospitality to each other with open arms. We want to know that, for once, social media is giving us a good, positive story, and that this good, positive story is real, and that it has continued and will continue into the foreseeable future. It's like every Thanksgiving for Jamal and Wanda ends with that closing TV screen, "to be continued." And then we all tune in the next Thanksgiving to see if Jamal and Wanda will get together again with family and friends to continue to celebrate that tradition. It's that happily ever after that has come true. Basically, this story is what we hope our world can be like. We live in a world where violence is all too real. We live in a world where hate is all too strong, where people from different races, different countries, different nationalities, different religions constantly fight and kill one another for no good reason. But this story, on the other hand, reminds us that there is hope for a peaceful world tomorrow. Isaiah also presents us with a vision of hope in his scripture to us today, a picture of how the world could be. Now, Israelite and Armenian troops have laid siege to Jerusalem, and the Judean king Ahaz has sought the help of Isaiah the prophet. The prophet responds by recounting an oracle of Jerusalem glorified. It foretells a time when God will act and transform the world. It is a radical vision of hope and peace. All people will seek God together instead of seeking personal gain, power, or wealth. And they will desire to walk in God's ways. And God will sit in judgment and arbitrate between nations. That is to say, God will establish justice across the globe, and out of that justice will flow universal peace. For justice is the necessary precursor to true peace. Weapons will be transformed from instruments of destruction to implements of agriculture so that they can give life rather than take it, and war will cease. Isaiah assures Ahaz that this is God's ultimate intent, a work which God will accomplish. As unbelievable as it sounds, this just and peaceful world will come to be by God's grace. Isaiah tells Ahaz this because the assurance that the future is in God's hands brings hope and courage in the present. Come what may, God is at work, and God can be trusted. Now, hope is also a theme that is found in the text from Romans that I read to you this morning. In it, Paul reminds his readers that Christ will come again, and so they must be ready. Wake up. Our salvation is near, is what Paul says. Wake up and get dressed. Changing clothes was often a metaphor for abandoning vice and embracing virtue. And Paul urges us to take off the old rags of our sinful, self-centered, indulgent ways and put on instead the armor of light. And what is this bright new garment? In verse 14, Paul tells us that it is Jesus Christ. We are to put on Christ, to become like Jesus, to let our characters be shaped into the image of Christ's character. The key to becoming like Jesus is to love our neighbors. Now, in the verses just prior to our reading, Paul tells us that all the commandments can be summed up in the words, love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment, the one that we learn from Jesus in the Gospels. Love is the fulfilling of all the laws. And God's love has been shown to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And that Jesus actively sought out our good for our salvation. So we too should actively seek out the good of others. To clothe ourselves in Christ is to live an active life of love, of self-giving love towards other people. What Paul is essentially asking us to do is to live as if the future is already here. To live as if the kingdom of God is already at hand. To live as if true justice had already been established and swords already beaten into plowshares and all people united together in doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. The good news is that this kingdom is coming. That Christ will return. The night is far gone and the day is near, but don't just sit around while you're waiting for it. We are to live into this hope for a peaceful tomorrow. We are to live in expectation and to live as if that world has already come. You see, theologically speaking, hope, like love, is a verb. I've talked about hope before here with you, and we've talked about how hope is a verb. It's not just something that we wish would happen. Instead, it's something that inspires us to action. It is something that we have to live out. Now, St. Augustine, as my husband would say, he loves to read old Christian saints and writers from the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries. So this is one that he's quoted to us many times. Hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. Anger at the way things are and the courage to change them. Hope is a glimpse of God's just and peaceful future that inspires us to live, even now, as if that future has already come. So how do we clothe ourselves in Christ and live in to this future that God has for us? We do so every time we sacrifice a little bit of pleasure or comfort by giving of our time and our money so that those who are in need can be clothed and fed. We clothe ourselves with Christ and live into God's future when we treat with dignity and respect those whom others scorn and abuse. When we seek peace rather than trying to get even. When we teach our children that violence is not a solution. When we treat our coworkers, our customers, and others in our lives justly and fairly. When we give the hurting a shoulder to cry on. When we treat other people's needs and concerns as equal to our own. When we care for the sick, visit the homebound, befriend the lonely, and defend the despised. We clothe ourselves with Christ and live in God's future when we cross divides, show hospitality to strangers, and eat with those who are different from us. Wanda clothed herself in Christ, and Jamal clothed himself in Christ. And Wanda and Jamal live out Isaiah's vision of God's future as if it were already a reality. Wanda said a few years ago, "This wasn't me. It's come from God above. God is just using us as his tools and vessels to bring a message to others. And it is a message of hope and a vision of what could be if God's will was done on earth as it is in heaven. A foretaste of what will be when Christ comes again and God's kingdom is established. Wanda and Jamal are God's instruments of hope for a peaceful tomorrow. And may the same be truly said of us as we live out of the hope of Christ's coming. May we live out that hope for a peaceful tomorrow. Amen.